the president, Donald Trump, signing executive orders in the Oval Office. He has signed an executive order on the Keystone Pipeline, also on the Dakota Access Pipeline, and a third executive order on pipelines. A fourth executive order this morning on regulations. Again, we'll get more details. And now we know that we also have a fifth executive order to expedite environment reviews.
The U.S. Senate has just voted to confirm South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Haley was elected in 2010 as South Carolina's first female and Indian American governor.
The bottom line is simple. You cannot run a government. You cannot help people. You cannot keep America safe if you don't actually admit to the facts. Plain and simple. And unless that starts happening, this country's going to have real trouble. And it's not going to be Democratic trouble, Republican trouble, liberal trouble, conservative trouble, just trouble because of avoidance of the facts.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. It is 5:10. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. It is another business day, another edition of The Opening Bell. We're glad to have you along this morning. Lots to talk about this morning. A little bit later on in the program, we'll talk about AI in hotels. A Chicago hotel, possibly one of the first using those Alexas to help you get things you need from the front desk, perhaps. We'll have that conversation later in the show. Heather Long coming up as well from CNN Money. But first, let's start on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk for this Wednesday morning. Dow futures are higher this morning, up about 59 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. U.S. stocks set for another upbeat trading day today with the Dow Jones Industrials Average looking for that 20,000 level. It ended the day yesterday at 19,903. We'll see if we can make it there today. Results from Dow Components, United Technologies, Chicago-based Boeing are due out before the market open today. We could see some movement on the markets before the bell rings after we see those results from especially Chicago-based Boeing. A couple of questions this morning about facts and where we're going to get those, especially from the USDA and also the EPA. Gag orders issued yesterday for agencies across the U.S. government, possibly even the National Institutes of Health. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, though, says that an internal email sent to its staff at Agriculture Research Service this week calling for a suspension of public-facing documents. Those include news releases, photos, other information is flawed and that new guidance would be issued to replace it. It's not clear when that will happen, though. The EPA folks there have been told not to do any public-facing documents or be on social media. That is obviously has many people concerned. We're also learning that Donald Trump's pick for agriculture secretary, his past includes a lot of climate denial. Sonny Perdue, former governor of Georgia, wrote in 2014 that ridiculous climate warnings have been a running joke. Just the latest in terms of cabinet appointments to the Trump administration who have issues with climate science. Of course, all mentions of climate change have been removed from the government White House website. Other news that we're watching this morning, Donald Trump redeeming a campaign promise to act pretty clearly on the Keystone Pipeline and the Dakota Access Pipeline. And as you might expect, there are new protests. That's the sound of protesters beating drums and chanting in Seattle. They're upset over the decision over Dakota Access Pipeline, especially the Sioux tribe, among those saying that it will hurt the reservation. They're also potentially cause water issues for the people that live there. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada will not force any pipeline projects through without the consent of local residents affected by such pipelines. Of course, he is impacted by the Keystone Pipeline.
We committed to strengthen the engagement with local communities, engage much more robustly than the American process is with Indigenous peoples, to consult, to listen, to hear concerns, and that's exactly what we've done.
The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, courtesy of CTV. 5:14, now let's bring in Heather Long from CNN Money. By Heather Long on Twitter. Heather, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Hi, Steve.
It's good to have you along. So we have just a dizzying array of things happening in the first few days of the Trump administration. He had the meeting yesterday with the auto or with some of the CEOs this week as well. So what is your take so far? What's good? What's bad?
A ton going on, as you say. Overall, from the economic perspective, as you just mentioned, the market is liking what they're hearing and is back near the 20,000 marker. I think a lot of people kept thinking that there would be concern about Trump going too far on trade restrictions. He did spend Monday rolling back TPP as expected, pulling the U.S. out from that Asia deal. Certainly a lot of talk about engaging on NAFTA, but so far he hasn't enacted any across-the-board tariffs or any of the more extreme measures on trade. So instead, people seem to be focused on, at least in the CEO offices and from an economic perspective, on these regulatory rollbacks, which at the moment are being seen, at least from a business perspective, as more positive. As you note, there's other concerns environmentally about what's going on. But I will say no action yet on corporate tax cuts, which is another thing that I think the economists and the business CEOs are really wanting to see. But that certainly seems to be on the agenda and a coming item.
The president said to the CEOs yesterday of the car companies that he wants maybe to cut 75% or even more of the regulations. He wants them to start building auto plants in the United States. How realistic is some of that?
Well, I mean, it was expected, right? He was going after the auto companies, even as president-elect, to try to force them to, he was taking credit for having Ford decide not to make a billion-dollar investment in Mexico and instead come back to the United States and add some jobs in the U.S. So he's certainly doubling down on that rhetoric again. But so far, you're not seeing it in the stocks of those companies, of the Fords and the GMs and Fiat Chrysler. At the moment, again, there seems to be, I kept reading all these notes heading into the inauguration that the market is oversold, that now Trump has to deliver on all these promises, and it's probably not going to be as euphoric as their expectations are. But so far, we haven't seen that churn yet. So, it's still sort of a wait and see period in an odd way.
Heather Long, senior market, stock market, and economy writer at CNN Money. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation with Heather.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks pulled off solid gains yesterday. The Dow Jones advancing to 19,912. The S&P 500 gaining a little over 0.5%. And the NASDAQ posting its highest close since January 13th at 5601. President Trump hosted the heads of the big three automakers at the White House yesterday, urging them to build their new factories in the U.S. The stick in his carrot and stick equation is a substantial border tax on companies that move manufacturing out of the United States. A newly released financial analysis says that six of the country's major energy-producing states have now slipped into recession. Alaska, Louisiana, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Wyoming each saw negative growth during the most recent fiscal year. And Americans bought fewer homes in December as the number of available properties fell to its lowest level since 1999. The National Association of Realtors says, though, that for all of last year, sales posted an annual gain of 3.8% to 5.5 million properties. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Heather Long is with us this morning from CNN. She is CNN Money. She's a senior economy markets writer there. Heather, you wrote earlier this week about how Donald Trump didn't go after China on day one. Is that a surprise to you?
Well, obviously, he's delivering a lot of what he promised this week. But again, I think a lot of CEOs and a lot of folks on Wall Street have been watching how far is he going to go on trade, right? So everyone has been saying we like a lot of what we're hearing from the Trump agenda. But the big asterisk is if he starts a trade war, that's going to tank the markets and that's going to be a huge drag on the economy. And so what was interesting to me is one of his day one promises for his first working day on Monday during the campaign and even as president-elect was that he was going to label China a currency manipulator. So really start by going hard after China. And he didn't do that. So he gave a little bit of a hint in a Wall Street Journal interview a few days earlier in January before the inauguration that sort of seemed like he was going to back off on that. He began to make comments like that, saying that he wanted to talk to the Chinese before coming out and doing something and really putting the gauntlet down by using that currency manipulator term. So again, I think even though people are still on edge about how far he'll go, he didn't come out perhaps as strongly as he could have there.
There's also the he doesn't have his Treasury Secretary in place yet, Steven Mnuchin. How big of an impact would that have had on his decisions?
It's hard to say, right? So the Treasury Department is the one that would technically come out, as well as Commerce, Wilbur Ross there, who's really been some of the most vocal comments about China and about wanting to get tough on China and Mexico. He is also not confirmed. So you've got that sort of economic group there that's still waiting in the wings to get in and to really get going. So it's possible that it could happen next week as these appointments start to roll out. That's right, Steve. The other thing on the economic front, that's the big news, is he put right on his website on whitehouse.gov under the economic plan that he wants to double growth to 4% GDP, and then he wants to create 25 million jobs. So Trump is not backing down from those very big, bold economic statements.
Why are those big and bold? First, with the jobs, we always hear this notion that we're at full employment now. Is that why that one might be big and bold?
Part of it. It's also, it would be the most of any U.S. president. So a lot of us remember those boom years of the 90s when Bill Clinton was president and the tech world was taking off, and it seemed like the market and the economy just wouldn't slow down there. And so under the tenure of President Clinton, the economy created nearly 23 million jobs. So you can see Trump is talking about topping that. Now, he does say, if you read the fine print, that it would happen over a 10-year stretch. So it's a little bit unclear, you know, if any president should be taking credit for a 10-year stretch of a plan. But I think, and the other reason is, so there's the just how big it is and what he's saying. And you're right. The other thing is, we're sitting at a moment where in the United States, officially on the books, we have 7.5 million unemployed Americans. Now, there are some other Americans who have dropped out of the labor force, so who aren't looking for a job actively anymore. Maybe they looked within the last year or the last several years. So even if you add that population in, we're still talking about only about 15, 16 million people who seem to even have wanted a job in recent years and have searched at all. So, you know, where are those extra people? Even if it miraculously comes to pass that we would have 20 million new jobs, who's going to fill those roles? Is he going to have more immigrants come in? Does he expect baby boomers to come back in the workforce? So there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect there.
And perhaps robots will be the people that fill, or the things that fill those jobs. I saw a really interesting story the other day about from some tech folks who said this notion of bringing jobs back and making companies do their stuff here in the U.S. might force them to push AI in faster, and that would cut American jobs.
You're absolutely right. So I, over Martin Luther King Day Jr. weekend, I was in Lordstown, Ohio, not too far from Chicago, and that's where there's a huge GM plant. And that GM plant happened to do just over 1,000 layoffs on Inauguration Day, so kind of a rough day for a lot of people at that plant, even though many of them voted for Trump. And I just really stood out to me as I was speaking to one worker who'd been there about 6 years, so not a huge amount of time, but decent. And he said, look, there used to be a person next to me. He works mostly on the trunks of cars, the Chevy cars. And he said, look, there used to be a person who stood next to me who put the spare tire in the vehicle. He said he's only been there 6 years. Now a robot does that. So he's even seen it right there on the floor, that those robots are taking over jobs of people who were leaving even in the past few years.
Heather Long is a senior stock market economy writer at CNN Money. You can follow CNN Money at CNN Money and Heather Long at By Heather Long. Heather, good to talk with you as always.
Take care.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, a smart thermostat that cares about the outside temperature to make the inside ready when you want it. There are all kinds of smart thermostats on the market. Some look pretty, others are more functional. Carrier, a name long known when it comes to heat and air conditioning, says it has a new line of thermostats that ups the game for less money. They're not as cool looking, but they have one unique feature.
It takes the outdoor temperature into consideration as it heats and cools your home.
Brian Mitchell with Carrier says that's important because most smart thermostats know at a certain time you want it to be a certain temperature, but they turn on at the same time. The Core 5 and Core 7 thermostats from Carrier modify what they need to do based on what's happening outside.
If it's 75 degrees outside and you're trying to get to 70, it knows it doesn't need to work very hard to get you there. If it's 18 degrees, as is in my house right now in Indiana, and you're trying to get to 70, it knows it's got to work really hard to get there.
The new smart thermostats start at $139. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:39 on this Wednesday edition of the show. We have a little heads up here. We're going to be talking about Alexa. So you might want to turn your Alexa off if it's near your radio, because we might be giving some commands that Alexa may respond to. Alexa, of course, is the Amazon AI, artificial intelligence machine. There's also the Dot, the Echo Dot. Lots of folks got these. There's the Google out there as well. You probably got one of these, and you've probably been doing something like this with it since Christmas.
Alexa, testing 1, 2, 3.
Receiving. Over.
Alexa, what's the agenda?
Here is the next event. It is in progress. 49 more.
That's from a website called The Phone Buff that does some testing of these machines in real time on video on YouTube. We're joined this morning by the director of sales and marketing at the Acme Hotel here in Chicago, where they're going to have AI as personal concierges. Brent, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on. So give us a sense of what Alexa is going to be doing in your hotel.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we installed Alexas just last week, rolled them out in every room, and really it's geared towards the hotel itself. So Alexa can actually answer any question you may have regarding the hotel. You can order service requests, ask for suggestions on where to eat, what to do. You actually have to prompt it by saying, Alexa, ask Acme, and then followed by your question.
I was in the promo for the show today saying, Alexa, bring me some towels. You've not got that far yet, or have you?
No, we absolutely have. And that's actually the core of the product that we have. So you can ask for towels. You can schedule our Morning Joe coffee delivery. That's actually by far the most popular use of it so far, is ordering our Morning Joe.
You are a concierge hotel. You're one of these boutique hotels, I should say. River North is where Acme Hotel is here in Chicago. Is this going to be the wave of the future, do you think, not only at your company, but at others, other hotels and motels?
Yeah, I think technology is definitely the wave of the future for hotels. Everything that we see and everything that we do here is geared towards technology, whether it be when we rolled out our online check-in. We have mobile room keys where you can actually go straight to your room and use your phone to open the door. So, yeah, I absolutely see technology driving the industry, and hotels need to keep up with technology in order to stay in the forefront.
Because people who are traveling, they don't necessarily leave their technology at home in terms of what they are used to at home. So if you have somebody who has one of these Internet of Things homes and they're just one of the gadget freaks, they want that when they travel too.
Absolutely. And, you know, we really try and listen to our guests and see what our guests are using. And we really want to make the hotel as comfortable as possible. So if they do have Alexas, which a lot of people do have Alexas in their home now, we want to give them the comforts of home when they're on the road here in Chicago.
Is the Alexa in the hotel room, will a guest be able to access maybe their own accounts, or is it just strictly the hotel right now?
Strictly the hotel right now. As far as personal content, what you can do is you can pair your phone to listen to your music via the Alexa, but it's really geared towards the software that we put on there is geared towards the hotel side of things.
You don't want people necessarily staying in the rooms talking to Alexa all day, though, do you?
No, not at all. I mean, they're in the city of Chicago. They should be out of their rooms exploring.
So this, you could, I understand you could also ask it questions about things too. Give us some examples of what you might be able to ask it about things outside of the hotel.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, let's say you have a couple hours to kill between when you land and your business meeting. You can ask for suggestions on where to go. If you want Italian food, you can say, Alexa, ask Acme for Italian restaurant recommendations, and we'll give you three recommendations that we've curated on our own. You can ask, you know, Alexa, ask Acme, how can I get to the Bean? A wide variety of questions. Basically, how we tell our guests to use it as anything you'd pick up the phone and ask the front desk about, you can actually ask Alexa about.
So this brings the next question. We were having the conversation with Heather Long in our first segment at the end of it about how robots might be taking people's jobs. I've seen hotels in Japan where they actually have guest clerks at the desk and bellboys that are robots. Is that the future?
It's funny you bring that up. We actually looked at that about 2 years ago. And at the time, it just wasn't practical, and I don't think it's practical right now for our use. It was more of a novelty item, at least the robot that we were looking at. It was more of a novelty item. And anything we do here technology-wise, we don't want it to be a novelty item. We really want to make it useful and useful to our guests.
And because people do, you know, when they travel, even though they're technical, I use myself as an example. Every once in a while, it's nice to see a person and have a conversation with somebody.
Absolutely. It can't go all tech. You need that human interaction. It really enhances the experience.
As far as you know, Brent, are you the first chain that's using Alexa in hotels, in your rooms?
As far as I'm aware, we're the first hotel that has rolled it out to all of the rooms. I know there are other hotels that maybe have rolled them out to a section of rooms, maybe 10 rooms here, maybe a floor to test it out. But yeah, we're the first hotel that I'm aware of that has rolled it out to the entire hotel.
And I asked this question because it's one that someone brought up to me when I told them I was doing this interview today. They're like, well, are they afraid somebody might walk out, put one of these in their suitcase and walk out with it? How do you prevent that?
We're actually always afraid of that. We can't prevent it. What we can only do is hope they don't do it. And then they have basically purchased a $200 paperweight if they have, because really they're custom for the hotel. So if they walk out, they're really going to be useless outside of the hotel.
There could be a nice comedy scene there where you have somebody walk by with the suitcase and you hear Alexa screaming inside of it. Help me, get
right.
me out of here.
Right.
Well, Brent, earlier you said that there are a number of different technical things in the room. You can use your phone as a key. What else is coming if you had to predict the future?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, with technology and its ever-changing landscape, I wish I could predict the future, but I really don't know at this time. I mean, we've always got our ears open on the new latest trends, and again, it has to be useful to the guest. So there's certain technology out there that we've seen that just wasn't useful to the guests. But to predict the future on the technology landscape, man, I wish I could do that.
Yeah. It's one of those crystal ball things. Is there any
right.
concern here about security issues with all of this technology in hotels? I mean, you can't use Alexa to get into a safe or anything like that, can you?
No, absolutely not. No.
Well, Brent, it's good chatting with you. I look forward to seeing one of these in action at Acme Hotel Company. Brent is the Director of Sales and Marketing, and you can follow them on Twitter, Acme Hotel Chi, C-H-I, on Facebook, Acme Hotel Company, Instagram, Acme Hotel Chicago. Brent, good of you to be with us on the opening bell this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. It was great.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 5:51 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are up about 60 points. S&P NASDAQ futures are higher as well. Yesterday, the Dow finished at 19,904. So if we have a nice positive start to the day today, we will inch closer, ever closer to 20,000. Let's check some of the other markets this half hour. The FTSE up about 23 points in Europe. The DAX is up 151. The CAC is up about 49. In Asia, markets there closing higher. The Nikkei up almost 1.5%. Looks like all of the other markets in Asia will close higher as well. We're all watching crude oil this morning. It's trading about 1% lower, off about 53 cents at $52.66 a barrel. Some other news that's happened while you have been asleep or getting ready for today. Toyota Motor Company said yesterday it would add about 400 jobs to build more SUVs at one of its U.S. plants. As a matter of fact, an Indiana plant, highlighting its expansion plans, just as President Donald Trump calls on manufacturers to build more cars in the country. Japanese automaker said the jobs were part of a $600 million upgrade in its plants there in Indiana. The jobs, no word on the timeline in terms of when some of these jobs will be started or when the expansion will happen, but certainly it is something that will happen in the next year or so, according to the Toyota Motor Company. Yesterday, we saw Donald Trump meet with the heads of the big three automakers, including Ford and Chrysler and GM. This is what the president told them yesterday at the White House.
We're going to make the process much more simple for the auto companies and for everybody else that wants to do business in the United States. I think you're going to find us to be from very inhospitable to extremely hospitable. I think we'll go down as one of the most friendly countries, and right now it's not.
The CEOs emerged optimistic, the president telling them he would cut as much as 75% or more of the regulations impacting the auto industry, urging them to build more plants in the United States. More reactions coming in to President Trump's executive orders signed yesterday aimed at advancing the Keystone XL and Dakota Access Pipeline. Republican Senators Tom Cotton and John Boozman of Arkansas released statements praising the decision, say it'll create jobs, especially in their state. About 350 miles of piping have been lying around in Little Rock ever since the Obama administration halted Keystone's construction. But Arkansas Sierra Club Director Glenn Hook says oil pipelines are a dying utility and environmental hazard.
It's a really bad day for people who care about clean water and people who care about clean energy.
There are renewed protests, especially with the Dakota Access Pipeline in New York and in the Dakotas. By the way, fact-checking some of these claims of job creation, the construction of the pipeline initially will create about 40,000 jobs, but after the pipeline is up and running, it will only add about 50 jobs to maintain it and keep it operating. Some other news that we're watching for you this morning comes from the earnings sector. We'll see a couple of big companies reporting today, including Chicago-based Boeing. Boeing is up about 1.5% before the market opens this morning, and we expect those earnings to be coming in any moment here as we watch the big board and the earnings board here on the market desk. The first legal cargo from Cuba in more than 50 years has arrived in the United States. The Miami Herald reports two companies of artisanal charcoal arrived yesterday morning at Port Everglades in Fort Lauderdale aboard a Crowley Maritime ship. Special charcoal is made from Cuban marabou by private worker-owned companies in Cuba. Marabou is an invasive woody species from Africa that is considered a nuisance on that island. The exports are legal under a rule change by the Obama administration that allows the imports of some products produced by independent Cuban entrepreneurs. Now, the Associated Bank WGN market outlook for this Wednesday. It's January 25th. The Federal Housing Finance Agency releases monthly housing prices today. In addition to Boeing reporting earnings, so we'll see a couple of other big companies. This is earnings week reporting. We will see most of the big ones before the bell rings today. United Tech is among those reporting before the bell. NASA will hold a news conference today with the next crew to launch to the International Space Station. Mexico and U.S. officials meet in Washington today and tomorrow. Mexico's economy minister says there are very clear red lines that must be drawn from the start as they prepare to meet with the new president. Also, the American Lung Association releases the state of tobacco control today, tracking an annual progress on key tobacco control policies at both the federal and state level. Those are just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, January 25th.